WSJM News Now. Team coverage from the WSJM Newsroom on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by the Town Crier Wire. Michigan State Police are investigating after an officer-involved shooting in Benton Harbor today. State Police out of the Paw Paw Post say a trooper shot a suspect about 1:30 p.m. in the 1300 block of Monroe Street. The trooper had pulled someone over and learned they had warrants out. The driver tried to flee and struck a Benton Harbor Department of Public Safety officer in the process. The Benton Harbor officer suffered a minor injury to the leg. The trooper then opened fire on the suspect, hitting him twice. No other shots were fired. State Police Lieutenant Dwayne Robinson tells us an outside team is coming in to investigate.
It is just unfortunate that this incident occurred. It's in a pretty dense community here in the 1300 block of Monroe. We're so fortunate that no bystanders or residents were injured as a result. The officer from Benton Harbor and a member of Michigan State Police both did their jobs according to their training.
Robinson says when the investigation is complete, it'll be forwarded to the Berrien County Prosecutor's Office. The suspect was being taken to the Berrien County Jail after receiving medical treatment. Leaders around Southwest Michigan are hailing news that the Palisades nuclear power plant will reopen now that the U.S. Department of Energy has approved a $1.5 billion loan for Holtec International to move forward with the project. Congressman Bill Huizinga tells us growing the nation's energy portfolio while creating jobs is a good investment for the federal government.
Frankly, as a nation, we've got to figure out how we are going to move forward with nuclear energy. And I think it is a very viable, necessary form of energy and needs to be part of our portfolio. So now with this experiment and bringing Palisades back on, I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good for Southwest Michigan when it comes to jobs.
State Representative Joey Andrews tells us the Palisades effort was the first thing brought to his attention when he was elected, and things have progressed quickly. He says it goes all the way up to President Biden.
The funds that they're using to do this were part of Biden's infrastructure bill package that went through last year. The massive investment they made in nuclear in there, his loan program is a part of that. So without the infrastructure bill passing, we wouldn't have this investment available, and that was pretty clear when we started having this initial conversation.
Andrews says the Palisades reopening will be a major boost to Van Buren County, which was hit hard when the facility closed. He adds it helps Michigan get more energy from a clean source. The loan approval is conditional on Holtec meeting all the regulatory and safety hurdles. Meanwhile, with that loan for Holtec approved, what's the next step? We asked Holtec's Patrick O'Brien.
There'll be a process where we continue to work with the DOE loan program to finalize and close that loan. In the short term, that's kind of from a DOE perspective what we'll be working on. But we'll continue really with the key path is continuing to work with the NRC to go through the licensing actions needed.
O'Brien says Holtec has already started to rehire the 600 workers that'll be needed to run the plant, with about 300 already on site. Some of the employees are previous Palisades employees who just retired when the plant closed, while others are moving back to the area. There's a rigorous process that'll need to be followed.
Similarly, when we were an operating plant, you would have a planned maintenance outage. We're going to go through, you know, all the systems, safety systems, things along those lines, and we'll ensure that they're in tip-top shape before we look to restart.
O'Brien says the goal is to have Palisades operating by late next year. There are also plans to construct two small modular reactors on the site, which will require yet more employees when brought online. He says this is historic, as no other nuclear plant has ever been brought back to life in this fashion, creating an example for how it can be done. The city of Buchanan is seeking grants to improve two parks. Assistant Community Development Director Ashley Regal tells us the city commission this week voted to apply for state grants for Riverfront Park and Victory Park. The Riverfront Park work comes after years of planning that led to the creation of a boat launch.
The first project that we got funded that was in the master plan was an ADA accessible kayak launch. That project is in process. And then this kind of piggybacks off that because we have an existing boat launch and an existing kind of ramp that are in need of some support.
So the city is seeking a $244,000 grant from the State Natural Resources Trust Fund for improvements to the boat launch and nearby infrastructure. Also, Regal says they're seeking a grant to install a playground at Victory Park.
To get high-quality playground equipment that's going to really last, it's a big cost. So we went out for this grant last year, and we were just a couple points away from getting it last year. So we're hoping this submission this year will bring home some really nice playground equipment.
That grant would be $140,000 from the state's Recreation Passport Program. The city's matches for the Riverfront and Victory Park grants would be $85,000 and $49,000, respectively. Regal says the Buchanan City Commission voted to apply for the grants this week. A new series of events is being planned in South Haven to bring the community together through song. Soha Sings organizer Sherry Stein tells us they're inviting everyone to come by Dyckman Park on the second Wednesday of each month to sing.
It is not a performance, it's not a concert, it's not a rehearsal, it's a good old-fashioned sing-along for a whole hour in order to try and build some community unity and belonging through getting to sing together, which you don't often get to do.
So can anyone just come by and join in?
Oh, I hope so. Absolutely. Everybody is invited. Everybody is welcome. We are going to do this if there's six of us sitting around having a real great time or if there's 60.
Stein says the team is curating songs that are easy to learn and have a spirit of unity so anyone can take part and have a good time. She was inspired to start Soha Sings when attending a concert where the whole crowd of around 40,000 sang along. Soha Sings will begin on April 10th and be from 5:30 to 6:30 at Dyckman Park in South Haven. It'll continue the second Wednesday of each month at the same time through October. Stein says you don't have to be able to sing to come by and join in. And a Berrien County man has won $200,000 in the Michigan lottery. The state lotto office says the man, who wishes to remain anonymous, won his prize in the club keno game February 28th. The 57-year-old player won $100,000 when his club keno numbers matched 10 of the 20 club keno numbers drawn in a draw. And then, thanks to the kicker, the prize was multiplied to $200,000. He won at the Chatterbox in Benton Harbor. The winner says he goes there each week for a burger and always buys a few club keno tickets. He says he was nearing the end of his draw that night and not doing so well, but then his luck changed. He adds winning still hasn't sunk in. The player recently visited the lottery headquarters to claim his prize and says with the winnings, he'll pay bills, put down a down payment on a new home, and save for retirement. WSJM News Now continues with your Bloomberg Report. WSJM News and Now continues. Crews are surveying the damage to Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge after Tuesday's collision with a container ship and searching for the remains of six construction workers who were on the bridge when it collapsed into Baltimore Harbor. More from ABC's Ike Giochi in Baltimore.
A team of eight construction workers who were on the Francis Scott Key Bridge at the time of the collision were working on potholes. They were filling those potholes. And at the time of the collision, we now know that all eight of those men fell into the water. Two of them were rescued. One of them was in okay condition. Another one's in serious condition. But those six individuals who were at the center of this search and rescue mission are now presumed dead.
Investigators are collecting evidence from the cargo ship that plowed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge and caused it to collapse. Meanwhile, in the waters below, divers are searching through twisted metal for the six construction workers who plunged into the harbor and were feared dead. The investigation picked up speed as the Baltimore region reeled from the sudden loss of a major transportation link that's part of the highway loop around the city. The disaster also closed the port that's vital to the city's shipping industry. Officials with the National Transportation Safety Board boarded the ship and planned to recover information from its electronics and paperwork. It seems all the international outcry looming over famine in Gaza, as well as U.S. pressure, have prompted Israel to finally open up one of its direct land crossings into northern Gaza. That's a first, some would say a late first, as with the war raging in its six-month mark. Until now, the single entry point has been Egypt's Rafah crossing at Gaza's southern border. ABC's Jordana Miller has more from Jerusalem.
Another 25 trucks of humanitarian aid safely reaching Gaza's north overnight. It's the latest of several aid convoys to cross directly from Israeli territory into northern Gaza. They avoid the looting and combat dangers of the journey from the south. If used regularly, Israel's new Gate 96 route could significantly help ward off famine in the north. The hope is that larger convoys can enter through this route with teams that can secure the safe distribution of the aid. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
The Israeli military says about 30 rockets were launched from Lebanon toward northern Israel this morning. Hezbollah took responsibility for the launches and said they were in response to an Israeli airstrike on a paramedic center linked to a Lebanese Sunni Muslim group in South Lebanon that killed seven of its members overnight. Lebanon's Hezbollah militant group began launching rockets toward Israel one day after Hamas-led militants stormed into southern Israel October 7th. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said today his government will not accept Hamas's delusional conditions for a ceasefire in Gaza. The militant group rejected the latest truce proposal because it says Israel is ignoring the group's core demands. The Biden administration is celebrating the results of a special election in Alabama as a warning sign for former President Donald Trump. ABC's Jim Ryan says the winner of the contest is a Democrat who made abortion and IVF access the centerpiece of her campaign.
During her run for a seat in the Alabama State House, Marilyn Lands talked about her own experience with a non-viable pregnancy 20 years ago and the choice she made to terminate it. Her opponent focused on economic issues. Yesterday's turnout was low, but Lands easily defeated Republican Teddy Powell. Strategists of both parties nationally are poring over the results.
Speaking of the election, many Americans are unenthusiastic about a November rematch of the 2020 election. But presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump appears to stoke more fear and anger among Democrats than President Joe Biden does among Republicans. That's according to a new poll from the Associated Press. A potential Trump victory inspires more excitement among Republicans than a Biden win among Democrats, although highlighting a potential weak point for Biden. The findings are notable in an unusual campaign pitting an incumbent president against his predecessor, with both men facing doubters within their own parties and among independents. The New Jersey store that sold the lone jackpot-winning Mega Millions ticket this week says it'll donate its $30,000 bonus to charity. ABC's Brian Clark says the big prize of more than $1.1 billion has not yet been claimed.
The Mega Millions jackpot winner has a year to come forward. So does the ShopRite liquor cashier who sold the winning ticket know who bought it?
I do not know last night. There were so many people that came through. I cannot remember.
Tiana Bambata said she's happy she was able to sell the winning ticket in her hometown of Neptune. New Jersey allows lottery winners to remain anonymous if they choose, but officials say that whoever won should sign the back of the ticket and get in touch with a financial professional and an attorney. Brian Clark, ABC News, Monmouth County, New Jersey.
Donald Trump has lashed out at the New York judge who put him under a gag order that bars him from commenting publicly about witnesses, prosecutors, court staff, and jurors in his upcoming hush money trial. The former president also attacked the judge's daughter, who posted a photo illustration of Trump behind bars. Trump posted on social media Wednesday the gag order was illegal, quote, un-American, unconstitutional, and he said Judge Juan Merchan was, quote, wrongfully attempting to deprive me of my First Amendment right to speak out against the weaponization of law enforcement by Democratic rivals. The gag order does not bar comments about Merchan or his family. Messages seeking comment were left with the judge as well as his daughter and a court spokesperson. WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast.